Okay, so on the line we have David Brumphy, who is a senior lecturer in modern China history at the University of Sydney, and he has also been a frequent commentator on politics in China, and has also been quite a very strong kind of voice against anti-Chinese hysteria and racism that has been pushed by reactionary and right-wing governments recently. So yeah, good morning, David.
Morning, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so I guess you've just recently, written a very good opinion piece in The Age around, basically responding to this sort of rhetoric that's been coming from our federal government about war and escalation of military conflict against China. And I guess want to kind of hear, what is your kind of comments on some, and a summary, I guess, of some of the events that have been happening in the past week that pertain to that?
Well, there's been war talk in the background of the discussion of China for quite a while now, but it was really noticeable in the last 10 days or so, the way that shifted from more subtle messaging to very open discussion of the possibility, even the likelihood of war with China. So I think the standout event was obviously Mike Pezzullo, the head of Home Affairs, on Anzac Day, giving an address in which he talked about the drums of war beating, you know, and it may be necessary for us to go to war with China. That then, you know, Jim Molan typically piped up, said, you know, we've got 3 to 5 years before we're off to war with China. Peter Dutton was asked about this. He refused to rule it out. He said it shouldn't be discounted. And then there was a report last week, this week, about a speech by a senior general last year talking about the high likelihood of war with China. So clearly there's been an increase in the public messaging around the possibility of war with China. And I think there's a discussion to be had about the motivations here and what role this is playing, say, domestically and so on. But I think that this is a time where people who are horrified by this possibility really need to speak up and say something, and that we hit this on the head, because the problem is that should it ever come to this possibility, you know, people in Australia may not actually have very much say in the question of going to war or not. We know that historically, so I think it's a good time now to start to raise our voices against this.
And what I guess has been, what has I guess been this, what will we guess the, is the political context, I guess, like the background, what has been the kind of trigger points for this sort of ramping up of the war rhetoric, especially in context, I guess, we've also been, especially in this context where we've seen this kind of rise in anti-Asian kind of racism that has been peddled by the likes of Donald Trump in the United States, who was referred to the COVID-19 as the China virus.
Yeah, so there's been a steady build-up over the last 3-4 years, beginning really, I think, with Malcolm Turnbull in late 2017, when he initiated quite a sharp shift in Australia's China policy. And the principle that informed the policies that Turnbull adopted with the new foreign interference legislation, the new approach to Chinese investment, all of these things. Basically, that was all grounded in this idea that China was this uniquely dangerous country, that business as usual with China could not go on, and that there was some kind of looming threat here. And obviously, COVID intensified that because COVID gave an opportunity for a lot of you know, really hysterical China bashing around the virus, of course, but it also sped up this the timeline around the competition between China and the United States. I mean, initially people thought that this was going to be, you know, a real setback for China. Then once it became clear that China was actually doing quite well in containing the virus and its economy wasn't suffering, that in fact America was taking a bigger hit, then, you know, people became very worried that this would shorten the time frame in which China was going to overtake the U.S. as the world's leading economy. And this is, I think, what brings us to the present moment, where I mean, there's various different contexts in which we could talk about this rhetoric. Obviously, there is the question of domestic politics and its application to some kind of forthcoming election campaign, where it's very easy to see the Liberals wedging the ALP on China. The ALP very cowardly when it comes to questions of foreign policy and specifically defence policy. They'll easily get bullied into silence by the Liberals. But there's also the international context. Obviously, when Australia talks about going to war with China, it's not talking about picking a fight with China by itself. A lot of this relates to the state of US-China relations at the moment. And I think we need to understand a lot of Australia's belligerence and its war talk as, in some ways, directed as much towards the US as to China, in the sense saying to the US, you know, look, we're ready, we're willing to, you know, do more to help you stand up and contain China. And that may reflect the perception that, in fact, the United States is at the moment not doing enough from Australia's point of view. You know, so we need to understand the situation in that triangular relationship between China, United States and Australia.
Mm. Thane, did you have a quick question you want to ask?
Yeah, so I was hoping you could talk a little bit about Taiwan, David,
sure.
Because it's a complex issue, and I was involved in a Facebook discussion, and there was a Greens member who was saying Taiwan is a modern democracy, and it's important for Australia to defend them. And to me, that was symptomatic of perhaps some progressives being lured into this idea that Australia needs to involve itself militarily. If you could just talk a bit about the political complexities of the Taiwan question.
Indeed,
should Australia be involving itself in a war?
Yeah, Taiwan is a diabolically complex situation. And look, personally, I want to state, you know, I believe that the people of Taiwan should have the right to decide their future for themselves. You know, and I would be opposed to any action by China that would violate their ability to do that. But I don't think that that is the kind of cause that can be advanced by force of arms. There are lots of troubling political situations in the world. The violation of the right to self-determination in Kashmir right now is an Indian occupation, with what Israel is doing to Palestinians. But I don't advocate war against India or war against Israel as a response to these situations. So the problem with Taiwan is that there's just a lot of ambiguity around both the way the West understands Taiwan's status. So both China and Taiwan formally have the position that there is one China and that that Taiwan is part of China. America and Australia's position, however, has simply been to acknowledge that those countries hold that position without actually taking a position on it themselves. So it's a deliberately ambiguous policy. And then the second level of ambiguity is that America has never committed explicitly to the idea of defending Taiwan against Chinese military action. It's always just left it an open question as to whether or not it would. And there was a sort of a modus vivendi, I suppose, around Taiwan for some time. As long as America was pursuing its what it called its engagement policy towards mainland China, which was essentially to sort of set aside hostilities, profit from the Chinese economy and have sort of relatively normal diplomatic relations. What's happened in the last couple of years, of course, is that engagement has been thrown out the window. And now the rhetoric is all about great power competition, strategic rivalries, and so on. So in that context, the type of military activities that the U.S. has maintained around Taiwan, its freedom of navigation operation, sailing its warships through the Taiwan Strait, so on, you know, from China's point of view, that starts to just feel a lot more aggressive from the United States. And there's also been steps from the United States to move towards some kind of normalization of its relationship with Taiwan, just gradually in terms of diplomatic protocols and so on, starting to roll back some of the restrictions that have been put in place in terms of interacting with Taiwan. And, you know, again, from China's point of view, that all just looks like another step towards some kind of Taiwanese declaration of independence with U.S. backing. And that's the basic scenario that Beijing is desperate to avoid. That there's a declaration of independence, that the U.S. supports it, and then Taiwan is, you know, drawn firmly into this American, you know, containment network around China. So that's where the threats from the Chinese side are coming to prevent that kind of possibility. And of course, when the West talks about deterrence towards China, essentially that's a form of military threat as well, to say, you know, well, if you take action, we will go to war against you. But there's, like I said, there's huge ambiguity as to whether or not the United States would actually take any action there. So I think that sort of lays out the, you know, the horrible complexity of the situation. But just to reiterate, you know, I think that we can support the right of people in Taiwan to, you know, decide for themselves their future. We need to be promoting that principle, you know, consistently and loudly throughout the region. But that's very different from saying that we should go to war against China to, you know, to facilitate that.
Hmm. And I guess going into ending on that sort of note with war, I guess to conclude, I guess, this interview in terms of, like, what, I guess, needs to kind of happen in terms of, like, the Australian kind of public, in terms of what we need, what needs to happen in terms of raising our voices against the potential war against China. And especially since, if there is a war, it's very likely that, just like the Iraqi war and all the wars that governments around the world are participating in, the perspectives of the public will likely not be taken into account.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. I mean, that's really a key point, which is why I think it's really worth us thinking now about what sort of campaigning we need in a situation like this. Should the situation continue to deteriorate? And of course, unfortunately, we don't have a very strong anti-war movement in Australia at the moment. So, I mean, certainly, I think if anyone's listening and they agreed with what I've written in the paper yesterday, I would encourage you to, you know, just to take that and send it to your local member and tell them you agree with this. That, you know, any kind of war with China would be madness. I think we do need to put more pressure on the politicians to say where they stand on this question, because it is the case that, you know, most Australians don't support any kind of idea of following the US into war with China. But I think there's just not enough politicians who are willing to say that themselves. I think when you put them on the spot, a lot of ALP politicians, their response will be to say, well, you know, it depends on the circumstances. You know, maybe we don't want to say that we will never do that because, you know, they think that this is necessary to strategy to ward off China. So I'd like to see us start to have, you know, public meetings around this question. I think that people need to be brought up to speed on issues like Taiwan, issues like the South China Sea. There's just so much complexity around the China question that I feel that sometimes people are a little bit reluctant to wade into it, you know, and history shows that, you know, there's no time to lose when it comes to building opposition to this kind of thing. And I think that, you know, just to reiterate something I was saying before, you know, this can be done on a progressive basis. You know, we shouldn't be bullied into the idea that, you know, if you're against war with China, then you're some kind of apologist for China, that you're just interested in, you know, making a buck out of trade with China, that this just represents some kind of corporate strategy to get on with business with China. No, that's not where we're coming from on this issue. You know, we are, you know, we stand for justice for the Uyghurs. You know, we oppose the sort of horrific human rights abuses taking place in Xinjiang. You know, we want the people of Taiwan to be able to decide their future for themselves. But, you know, we see this, you know, we see that, those kind of causes as going hand in hand with the cause of peace and the anti-war movement across Asia, which we really need to be thinking about this in regional terms as well, you know, linking up with civil society groups throughout the region who share this perspective and creating unity on that basis, not on the basis of nation versus nation, Australia versus China, US versus China, but on the basis of, you know, people who share these progressive principles.
Yeah, well, I think that's a very good note to kind of end on, David. And thank you so much for having this kind of important discussion with us for Green Great. Left Radio. And we'll definitely be having more discussions on this topic, especially potentially exploring more the different kind of complexities and aspects of Chinese politics and this. And this whole kind of issue. Thanks again, David.
Cheers,
thanks for having me on, guys. Yep. Bye.